all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense on this Monday, April 17th. It is a day on Lake Wissota. I don't know that I can use the word beautiful right now. There's, a good 3-4 inches of snow here. Definitely more in other parts of the region as winter makes a one-day comeback. As somebody, you know, put on social media, it's like the angry spouse or partner who storms out and then storms back in and says, and one more thing. And that's what we've got facing us today. But, you know, it's our theater of seasons. If you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes, right? I mean, seriously, we were complaining about 90 degree heat barely 48 hours ago. And now it's cold and windy and snowy, but again, it's going to be in the 40s and 50s throughout the rest of the week, so it's not like this is going to hang around, but plenty of school districts have already called it a day or they've put in for a delay, so be sure you check your local conditions before you send the kiddos out. It is very possible that your school district might be a little late to make an announcement, and you don't want to find out that, you know, there's a 2-hour delay and your kid's out standing on the corner there. You don't want to leave her or him there for the next 2 hours, all right? So keep an eye on all of that. I was sharing a TikTok with Aaron Zommers, who joins us from Madison here. Any chance you were able to bring that up yet, Aaron?
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
This is some TikTok that was sent to me by a colleague in Michigan who saw this person in Wisconsin just sitting outside as the snow was falling yesterday, I think. And he just looks into the camera, and here's what he has to say.
Oh, hey, it's Tom. Do you ever feel like life is just whizzing by in a blur? Well, maybe you should move to Wisconsin. It started snowing a little bit before Halloween, and it's still snowing today. Ask your psychiatrist if living in Wisconsin is right for you. Or anyone.
Thomas Patrick Lennon is the name of the account on TikTok where that came from. It sounds about right. Ask your psychiatrist if living in Wisconsin is the right move for you. Meanwhile, you know, later this week, you know, the Brewers will be back in town and, you know, we'll have that sign of spring. So theater of seasons, everybody, theater of seasons. Kristen Lyerly will be here later in the hour to update the legal fight over women's access to vital medication. We will review what was supposed to be the start today of the Dominion defamation trial against Fox, quote unquote, news, though it's been delayed for at least a day. And in our 7 o'clock hour, before he retires shortly, Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign wants to get a few things off his chest, especially the plea that we not normalize the way that our elections have been hijacked by high dollar outside groups. So he's going to talk about things that we could do, things we should ask of our legislature. However high the odds are that they would do anything. But again, let's not normalize it. And Terry Bell will have three things for us to know. Roger Frost reports that less than an inch of snow has fallen in Stevens Point. That sounds about right. We'll see if we can get some snow totals this hour and maybe share them on either side of Jennifer Wojcicki's forecast coming up at about 7:15. If whether you want to report snow totals or vent about living in Wisconsin, you can call us at 844-967-2789. And then the Up North line is 715-388-7155, or send us a nasty gram or a nice note, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. It's upnorthnewswi.com where you find what I'm working on along with my other Up North News reporters. You can find us on social media at upnorthnewswi. And if you are not able to listen on your local Civic Media radio station, you can always go to the Facebook page for Civic Media or for Up North News. Watch us on video there. You can even leave a comment if you like about what you're seeing during the show. And again, we may throw that up at some point and share your insight with the rest of the audience. Aaron, how was your weekend before winter returned?
It was nice. I went home, visited my family since I wasn't able to on Easter weekend, and I got back as it was starting to snow yesterday, so I timed it out well.
I was going to say, you timed it out just right. Good work. Friday, you know, again, long before winter came back, Friday in full spring mode, we were down watching the Chippewa River as it was roaring through downtown. One of the streets was closed there as the river came up just high enough to close one of the streets. It was very impressive watching the Chippewa as it crested here on Friday afternoon and made its way down. We went over to Loopy's and kind of sat riverside and watched all that. Amazingly, they were not renting inner tubes that day. Didn't really want to encourage anybody floating down the river, but you know, that'll come soon enough for folks. And then we made the promise to ourselves, my wife and I, that we have such a list of half-watched TV shows. And we finally decided we're going to tackle this. So, I mean, I don't have the list in front of me here, but it's the Only Murders in the Building is where we're going to start.
That's a very good show.
Yeah. I mean, we're on season one, like episode 7. So we seriously need to get going. Here's the list here. There's Barry, which I think just got renewed for a fourth and final season. Shrinking. Everybody's talking about that one with Harrison Ford. The Upload from Amazon. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. We're only early in season 2 there. Ted Lasso, we're following regularly. The Kominsky Method with Michael Douglas was good. And The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. We start these shows and then we just kind of like don't get back to them. So I think Only Murders is the way to go, yes?
I think so.
Yeah, so we'll finally catch up with the rest of civilization. All right, we have a lot to talk about in terms of the Bucks and the Brewers and then headlines, all coming up yet, as we get this Monday started on Up North News Radio. Up a little later, today's music break and history lesson. It's a birthday for one of the Spice Girls today. You can think about that one over the next 30 minutes or so. Tax day is tomorrow, by the way. I know April 15th was on Saturday, but because of the weekend, and then today is Patriots Day, you know, they're running the Boston Marathon and everything. So the final tax day is tomorrow, though. I will say I was awakened this morning about 4:15 by an alarm on my phone, which, you know, tracks, it's one of those app things when you have a big withdrawal from your bank account and you hear that and you go, what was that? And you look at the phone and like, oh, the IRS took their chunk. So I guess it's that time. So we're caught up. There's still time for you if you are a true procrastinator. The Brewers are still on their 10-game road trip. They won only 1 out of 3 in Arizona, but they won 3 out of 4 in Arizona over the weekend, including quite a pitcher's duel yesterday between the Brewers' Wade Miley and San Diego's Yu Darvish. Miley allowed 4 hits, struck out 8, walked none. That was amazing, watching Wade Miley just, you know, bear down. Yu Darvish was equally good. And it really, and yet it did his, he played a role in why they lost 1-0, but it wasn't so much on a pitch. What happened was that Garrett Mitchell reached on a 1-out bunt single. Then he advanced to second when Yu Darvish had a pitching clock violation. And then Garrett Mitchell stole third and then scored on a sacrifice fly from Brian Anderson. And that was it. That was the only run of the game. So, again, these two pitchers, great game, but just a couple of small mistakes made the real difference. Now, if you missed it on Sunday, rookie reliever Gus Varland for the Brewers is now on the 15-day injured list after a very scary moment when he was hit hard when a pitch came right back to the mound. He took a line drive. It was tough to tell where all he'd gotten hit, but the ball went off his pitching hand, then his chin, then his left forearm. Of course, this all happened really quickly. I mean, he went down like a shot. We had no idea if he took it all in the face or what, but it turned out his face is okay, but it was actually his pitching hand that the ball hit first. And it's that hand that is not doing well and why he's going to be on the 15-day DL. The Brewers recalled right-hander Elvis Peguero from AAA Nashville. He was acquired back in November in a trade with the LA Angels. The Brewers now are done in San Diego, so they wrap up the road trip with three games in Seattle tonight at 8:40. Corbin Burns pitching for the Brewers. Then again tomorrow at 8:40. Then Wednesday at 3:10. Then they're off Thursday. And then come Friday, they start a nine-game homestand, three games apiece with Boston, Detroit, and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or whatever they call themselves these days. The Milwaukee Bucks began their playoff series first round. They're the number one seed, which meant they got to play the number eight seed, the Miami Heat. Should be easy, right? Not when you lose your best player. Giannis drove to the basket, took a hard fall early in the game, and just like that, the Bucks' championship aspirations are a little bit more precarious. Antetokounmpo landed hard on his backside after getting fouled in the first quarter, and he was out for good, and Milwaukee lost the opening game of the series 130-117, Jimmy Butler scoring 35 points in a dominant performance for Miami. Game two of the series will be Wednesday in Milwaukee, and the Bucks will certainly hope that the two-time MVP of the league is feeling better by that time. Over the weekend, there were, of course, all the usual Sunday shows talking about things in the news. And coming up in our next segment, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley about the abortion pill legal fight. We'll have comments from Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was on NBC's Meet the Press, and from Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota senator, who was on this week on ABC. We'll get them talking about the abortion pill fight. But right now, we'll hear from each of them on a couple of the other topics that came up. First, we'll hear from Amy Klobuchar on Clarence Thomas. I mean, we ended last week talking about how his good friend just happens to be a billionaire who is behind all manner of right-wing causes that, while he, the billionaire, has never been before the court, he's never had a case that Clarence Thomas would have to declare, he has certainly supported so many other functions that have, you know, led to various court cases. The problem is that Clarence Thomas didn't declare most or all of what he's received from this buddy. And these are lavish vacations and properties that were purchased. And it really was a case of Clarence Thomas feeling like the rules don't apply to him. Over the weekend, what we learned is that over the past couple of decades, Clarence Thomas has reported on his financial disclosure forms getting rental income that has totaled hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years, and that he's gotten these hundreds of thousands of dollars from a firm called Ginger Limited Partnership. That's a Nebraska real estate company that was launched in the 1980s. But the company has not existed since 2006. So he's still reporting income from a company that doesn't exist, which, again, at best is sloppy record keeping, but at worst shows a stunning lack of ethics, the likes of which would get any other judge in trouble. As Amy Klobuchar says here to Jonathan Curl on ABC, when he's trying to get her to comment on the seriousness of this.
How serious is this?
Serious. When you have billionaires who are on boards with cases pending before the court, buying a justice's mom's home and renovating it, and then that justice doesn't report it, this isn't even an exception for personal friendships, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. This is a case where the law clearly says you have to report these things, yet he reported that same year a medallion he was given from Yale. Another year he reported when he was given tires, but he doesn't report this, and he didn't report the lavish vacations on yachts. It is time for ethics rules in the Supreme Court that are clear and enforceable. I said this the last time I was on with you on this very show, when he wasn't recusing himself from cases pending before the court regarding the insurrection, given his wife's, what we know now about her emails and texts and the like. This should not be a double standard. Every federal judge in the country comes under these ethics rules. So if they don't do it, then the Congress should do it. And that's why we're having a hearing to cover this on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And Minnesota Senator Klobuchar is on the Senate Judiciary Committee, again, talking about why Clarence Thomas needs to be looked at even more closely than is already happening, because there are so many things that are already obvious about the role that Ginny Thomas played, including giving messages to Wisconsin legislators about the 2020 election and trying to get Wisconsin legislators to overturn the will of the voters. Why this isn't being treated more like the scandal that it is beyond me, but the attention should still be paid to it. Now, the Judiciary Committee and the Senate itself is having some problems with absences. You had Mitch McConnell, who is finally coming back today after being injured in a fall. John Fetterman is coming back after being treated for depression. Dianne Feinstein of California, what is she, 89 years old, still missing in action. And because of the Democrats' very narrow margin in the Senate, they have not been able to work on appointments for judgeships and a whole lot of other things. And so, again, Senator Klobuchar, and we'll hear from Tammy Baldwin next, were asked, should Dianne Feinstein, should she retire? Should she resign her Senate seat and stop holding up business while she's at home recovering from an illness?
I think she made the right decision to step off the Judiciary Committee. I serve on that committee, and we cannot advance judges or legislation with a missing person because of the close votes. So basically, in the next week or so, you're going to see Senator Schumer, probably sooner than later, putting forward a name. And then the Senate, as they've done in the past, can vote to put this person on unanimously. That's what happened when you had Bob Dole resigning to run for office.
But you don't think Republicans are going to try to block that?
I don't know. I sure hope not, because that is against the precedent of the Senate and how we've run things. But that's the first thing, so she did the right thing. As for the long term, many people have been out, as you know, for periods of time when they're sick, and they have come back. In this case, we are going to need her vote on the Senate floor eventually. We have things like the debt ceiling coming up. But I think what we need to do is take her at her word. She is recovering from shingles, and make sure she comes back. If this goes on month after month after month, then she's going to have to make a decision with her family and her friends about what her future holds. Because this isn't just about California. It's also about the nation. And we just can't, with this one vote margin, and expect every other person to be there every single time. So, it's going to become an issue as the months go by.
So that's, again, Senator Amy Klobuchar pointing out yet again that there has been a way that senators and politicians have operated over our lifetimes, and that involves some respect and some deference. And she alluded to when Bob Dole ran for president against Bill Clinton in 1996, and that, you know, he had to leave his committee assignment, and that, you know, no Democrats objected. They understood you're running for president. Somebody else can sit on that committee so that the work of the Senate gets done. You don't play politics with the nation's business. Well, that was a kinder, gentler time when Bob Dole was the leader of the Republican Party. And now, forgive the language, there's not a chance in hell that Republicans will give unanimous consent and allow Democrats, allow Senator Schumer, the Democratic leader, to simply replace Dianne Feinstein with somebody else on the committee. They're going to demand a vote. And of course, with Feinstein not there, it leaves Democrats one vote short so they can gum up the works and prevent the nation's business from going on. It's their right to do that. It's always been the minority party's right to do that. But there's also been, like I said, a degree of class and respect that is sorely lacking in Washington today. Senator Tammy Baldwin, as we mentioned, was on NBC's Meet the Press, and she gave a much more brief and succinct answer about, you know, what should happen with California Senator Dianne Feinstein and her absence.
Look, it's up to Dianne Feinstein and her family to decide whether she wants to keep on serving. And she's had a remarkable record, and I respect that.
And again, it is ultimately up to each senator on what they're going to do. But they do have to keep in mind that they are, you know, representing their constituents. Oh, I mean, look, you can be Strom Thurmond, you know, and you can serve till, what was he, like 100 years old or something like that by the time he, you know, was no longer a senator and not really doing a lot of favors. We have to keep in mind that we should have a higher expectation for our senators, that they are not merely a vote. They're not merely a red vote or a blue vote. There's work to be done. And while their office can do a lot of the work, it should not be that robotic, the expectation that we have of our senators. And if they can't be there to debate the issues, to put forward their ideas, then, you know, then they should move aside and let somebody else come in. I'm going to move aside and let someone else come in. Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to join us, and we're going to talk about other headlines in the news and hear more from Tammy Baldwin and Amy Klobuchar coming up next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
The fact that I'm playing Maniac has nothing to do with Kristen Lierley's appearance, only to make note that Michael Sambello, the singer, is 69 years old today.
That's a good song to wake up to.
That's the only one. Yes.
That makes me feel like, woo, where's my coffee?
I know. Can you still, you know, do the little dance where you're like practically jogging in place and spinning in circles and all of that?
I love that you said still.
No offense, of course. I'm sure you were capable of everything that you were capable of back when that movie first came out. How's your weekend?
Oh, it's been good. We got a little snow and a little sunshine and
delivered
a couple babies.
Had close to 90, you know, heading into the week. It's been just insane. But
that was weird. When I was driving through central Wisconsin, the temperature in my car said 85, but there were still piles of snow just outside mm-hmm. of Wausau. It was crazy.
Yeah. New snowfall totals have just come in. And let's see, we've got, near Onalaska, 8 inches, La Crosse, 9 inches. Arcadia is at 9 inches. Loyal, 13 inches. Sparta, 16 inches. Neillsville, 19 inches of snow. I can totally see it's right where the band was. We were looking at it on the radar yesterday. It's a rather narrow band, but you know, the storm just kind of kept spinning right there. And that's the difference between them and say, Mondovi south of Eau Claire is at 3 inches, Red Wing at 3.5 inches. Grantsburg only got about an inch. So it was, you kind of won the snow lottery there, folks. Congratulations.
At least you know it's going to melt.
Yeah, you got that, because it is going to be 40s and 50s for the rest of the week. All right, let's cover some things in the news here. Let's cover the most troubling and alarming one first, and then we'll get back to the mifepristone debate. And that is the Florida legislature passing in the dead of night, and Governor Ron DeSantis quickly signing a six-week abortion ban. No abortions after 6 weeks. And Kristen, as an OBGYN, you can tell me how much I've heard that there are so many women who don't know it's 6 weeks that they're pregnant yet.
Not even a clue. Mm-hmm. It's 6 weeks. So when we date a pregnancy, the first 2 weeks, we date it from the first day of your last period. So the first 2 weeks, you're not even pregnant. You don't even get pregnant until 2 weeks. So that is right at the point when someone has missed a period. So people who have periods out there, you know, sometimes you're a little late. And even if you're on top of it, it doesn't really give you a lot of time to plan, especially if you have to travel. So, yeah. I mean, 6 weeks really is almost a total abortion ban.
Well, it basically is. And you said as much on Meet the Press Daily on NBC News Now. Was that Friday or Thursday?
Friday.
That you were there and you were talking to Chuck Todd about this. And what really stood out to me is something that I also thought about listening to South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott talking over the weekend, that he would sign whatever the most conservative bill is that gets to his desk if he were president. And the reporters like throwing numbers out saying, you know, should it be 5? Should it be 6? Should it be 7? You know, what should it be? And you made the point that, you know, who are you guys to be talking about these numbers? There is nothing medical about these numbers.
This isn't the lottery. You know, like, there is no point where it is okay for politicians to interfere in your health care. Whether we're talking about an abortion ban or a new cancer diagnosis or even your preventive care, they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't done the training. They can't advise you, and they shouldn't be setting these arbitrary numbers.
And they are arbitrary. And Senator Tammy Baldwin pointed out as much when she was on Meet the Press yesterday with Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd, again, tried to get her to essentially, you know, debate the number right there on TV. And she was saying that she would be open to the discussions, but she was also making clear, again, why are we, the politicians, talking about these numbers? Here's what Tammy Baldwin had to say.
How serious?
Look, it's the Baldwin viability.
I certainly would look at that, but here is what the bill does. The bill talks about pre-viability and viability and relies on medical expertise because that time may change as medicine advances. So we recognize that from the get-go, and I think that's the appropriate way to do it. But I do want to get this measure passed.
But you are willing to have some compromise if that was the price of getting more Republicans on board. If you could get them on board at 20 weeks rather than 24. We even heard Senator Tim Scott saying that if 20 weeks is all he could get, looking at it through the other way, that perhaps he would support that. Is that at all?
Well, not,
is that
I'm
at all something
negotiate.
Worth? I understand. Is that all something worth at least looking at?
Certainly it's worth looking at, but I think the way to go is to have medical science establish what's pre-viable and what's post-viability, and that's what the bill does.
And that's all you need is that last sentence right there, is have medical science establish what's pre-viability, what's post-viability. Yes?
Senator Tammy Baldwin gets it. I was with her the day that she released the Women's Health Protection Act. And this is a great piece of legislation because it really makes abortion available prior to viability. And then after viability, it's available for people who need it for medical reasons, which happens, folks. These stories are often desired pregnancies. They're heartbreaking, horrible stories, but people deal with these issues every single day. And Senator Baldwin understands, and that is what this piece of legislation reflects.
And completely what we need. And to, in that same vein, as we make the switch over to mifepristone, Senator Amy Klobuchar was on ABC and asked about it. And again, you know, in talking about an abortion ban, we're talking about who are politicians to decide this. Here's Senator Klobuchar talking about who are judges to overrule the FDA when we talk about something like a medication that's been on the market safely for decades.
To me, this is unbelievable. This is a drug that has been on the market for over 20 years. FDA does thorough review, finds it safe. You've got it safe in 60 countries. It's used in over half of the abortions. One judge from Amarillo, Texas, two judges on the Fifth Circuit, all of them Trump appointed, should not be making the decision for women across the country. What is it going to be next? Is that judge going to not like birth control pills? Are we going to have a judge that doesn't like Lipitor? There is a reason that Congress gave FDA the power to make these decisions about safety. So this is coming up before the Supreme Court. The Justice Department is aggressively pursuing this case. And as it is right now, literally these judges decided, well, you're not going to be able to take it up to 10 weeks. We think it's better to do 7 weeks. Well, you can't get it in a pharmacy and you can't get it by the mail. So good luck.
Kristen.
Right. The fact that a panel of judges said, nah, let's just set a different number. Like, what do they know? This is a medication that has been FDA approved for over two decades. Over 5 million people in this country have used mifepristone. It's safer than Viagra. It is as safe as Tylenol and ibuprofen. So the fact that these politically motivated judges are overriding science and evidence and experience, and again, interfering with our healthcare, is unconscionable.
And it again raises the specter of how far can politicians and judges go into your personal life. I mean, right now you're letting them into the exam room saying, well, we're not going to let you do something at 20 weeks. Well, maybe 6 weeks. Well, maybe 4 weeks. At what point does it become 0 weeks? In other words, when does it go from the exam room to the bedroom and say what you can or can't do in your bedroom? Because we already know there are plenty of Republicans that would be happy to legislate what you can and can't do in your bedroom. So if you think 6 weeks isn't some kind of violation of privacy compared to 20 weeks, wait till that needle gets moved further into what really does cross a line of privacy for you.
When Senator Klobuchar talked about birth control, it sounds preposterous, just like the fall of Roe sounded preposterous. But this is happening. These Comstock laws that prevent us from accessing birth control are still out there. And don't forget, friends, that birth control did not become available to people, even to married women, until the 70s in this country. So this could be taken away from us, and we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight for our ability to make our own medical decisions.
And let's remember that when you're going after the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and saying, well, we think they might have operated beyond their bounds. Remember, this is a Supreme Court currently that said the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has maybe operated outside its bounds. And we know what the right wing wants to do about the FBI, the ATF, the DOJ. And they want to make these claims of extra legal authority when these are boards, these are departments, these are institutions that were specifically given authority. Congress knew what it was doing when it set these up. For courts to come in and overrule the will of Congress, the people who were elected by the people, is, again, rather unseemly, because, you know, if they can do that, these are the same people that can then truly go after your own constitutional rights, your right to privacy, your right to free speech, and things like that. These are directions I think people, well, we already know from the midterms, Kristen, and election, people are not comfortable about them going in this direction. It just doesn't seem to be stopping them.
It's just another way that they are undermining democracy, and another way that, as the people, we have to push back.
Now, we heard from Tammy Baldwin a couple of times here, and I wanted to play one bite from Kevin Schimming, the new chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, who was on Capital City Sunday over the weekend, and got asked the question about, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot of Republicans are eager to challenge Tammy Baldwin for re-election when she runs next year. She made that announcement last week. And here's Schimming talking about, you know, we don't really need a candidate from the state's congressional delegation.
You know, I'm not spending my time trying to convince certain people to run. There are quality candidates out there already, so I'm not unhappy about that. I don't know that we have anybody from the congressional delegation, especially now that the Republicans are in control of the House, that maybe makes it a little less interesting to run for the U.S. Senate.
yeah. Excuses. We have eight congressional seats. Six of them are occupied by Republicans. There are plenty of people there who could throw their name in the hat.
But they choose not to, because they understand. So to say, well, it makes it a little less interesting to run for the Senate, sounds as disingenuous as Scott Walker saying he's not going to run against Tammy Baldwin because, you know, he'd be bored as a senator. Come on. So at this point, I mean, what he was really saying, he was saying in so many words that Mike Gallagher from your neck of the woods up in Green Bay probably isn't going to run, nor Brian Stile from the first district.
I heard whisperings about Tom Tiffany.
I think he's playing a game that we've all played. You put your name out there because you want people to talk about you, even though you have no intention of running whatsoever. But what can you do while people are talking about you, Kristen? You can raise money. You raise your name ID. You play. You basically you're a tease. That's what it is. It's teasing Tom Tiffany, I guess. It's his turn. It's been other candidates, you know, other people before flirting with maybe running. And right now with Gallagher and Stile apparently out, this is where Tom Tiffany can kind of put his name out there, kind of float it. And then eventually he too will say, you know, I'd be bored in the Senate, or I can get so much more work done here in a gerrymandered House of Representatives where, you know, the rule of law means so much less here than it does over there. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. But I would not be looking for a Tiffany for Senate sign appearing in anybody's front lawn anytime soon.
It would be so much fun, though, because with all the teas, you've got teasing Tom Tiffany and toxic Tom Tiffany and terrible Tom Tiffany. Like, think of where we could go with that.
You know, it's all in the record. It's not like any of it hasn't been said before. But if he right. wants to do that on a statewide basis, that's certainly his right. We will pause right here, come back with today's history lesson, a little music break, and more with Kristen Lyerly on Up North News Radio. We'll be back. Something you don't hear nearly enough these days. You know, bullfrogs with names. Bullfrogs who are good friends of yours. Welcome to the 60s, everybody. Or in this case, 1971. Three Dog Night with Joy to the World reached number one on this day in 1971 and stayed there for 6 weeks. Loved Three Dog Night.
That song makes me feel happy.
Yes, so it is. It's a happy place song. So you had Three Dog Night, you had Bachman Turner Overdrive. There are a few bands like that. Just love them all. Sometimes you can't tell the difference between all of them, but
sometimes their members are the same.
Yeah, I know.
They, like, share a lot of members.
Yes. On this day in 1961 was the Bay of Pigs invasion when a group of Cuban exiles financed and trained by the CIA landed at the Bay of Pigs in Cuba with the aim of ousting Fidel Castro. Did not go so well. On this day in 1970, the ill-fated Apollo 13 spacecraft made it back to Earth safely, a collective sigh from an entire world that was holding its breath, watching this real-time disaster unfold and fortunately have a positive ending. Let's see, we have a birthday here. Again, one of those signature songs that if you can't get it in a half a second or less, you're doing something wrong. Happy 75th birthday to Czech pianist, composer, and producer Jan Hammer. I know has done other stuff as well, but I mean, Miami Vice, that's it. But it's like you can just put down your pen and say, I'm just going to cash these checks if you don't mind.
I was looking through my old high school pictures and my prom date from junior prom had a pink tux because it was the Miami Vice era. Yes. And that was a thing.
Yep. What year was that?
1986.
Okay. 86 was when we got married and
you had a pink tux.
We could have had one. We left. We're in the stores because back there was no interwebs. You went to the stores and you looked through these great big catalogs. And my gosh, did we laugh when we turned the page and there was the Miami Vice collection.
I mean, yes, it looked that's like, what it was.
It looked like the NBC Peacock had vomited on this catalog. All these pastel colors of tuxes. And that was our running joke the rest of the time. And could you imagine if I'd have turned to my groomsmen and said, okay, you're going to be in the pink one. You're going to be in the yellow one. You're going to be in the fuchsia, powder blue. Oh, God.
And sneakers.
And the sneakers. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that did not happen. We went with your classic charcoal gray, the way it should be. The way God meant a wedding tux to look like. We already mentioned Michael Sambello is 69 today. Liz Phair is 56, a 90s indie rock icon. Actress Jennifer Garner is 51 today. And have you guessed which Spice Girl is having a birthday today? She is 49.
I'm going to go with Scary.
No, Posh. Victoria Beckham is 49 years old today. And now we've got four more music clips. All four of these clips were on the charts on this day in 1971. It's the first time that since their breakup, each of the four Beatles had a solo single on the charts. So we'll go through John, Paul, Ringo, and George. John, on this day in 1971, had Power to the People.
Power to the people. Power to
on a different tone altogether was Paul McCartney, because Lennon and McCartney, they wrote all these amazing songs together, but they also had very different tastes in their solo work. And Paul McCartney on this day had another day.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day.
I just like that all four of these are just completely in line with what your expectation would be. Ringo Starr was on the chart the same day in 1971.
So drum forward that song is. Don't you love that, Aaron?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I just like the first line here. That should be it. That should just be everybody's mantra. Got to pay your dues if you want to sing the blues. And then, of course, George Harrison, who was influenced by Indian sitars and other things that were not in the mainstream, shall we say, of Western musical culture, gave us this single in 1971. Such a signature George guitar move there.
I love them all.
Yep.
Who was your favorite Beatle, Pat?
Ooh. I guess I'd have to go with Paul. But again, George with the guitar. Ringo is completely underrated. He makes for an easy punching bag. But if you listen to those very, very early Beatles hits, it's the drumming was so distinctive, so different than just the basic that you'd hear from, Buddy Holly or whoever else was on the charts those days. And John Lennon, just as how eclectic can it be? How well-rounded could a soul be? What was the movie that was out a couple of years ago that imagined, was it called Imagine? where what if the Beatles had never existed and there was only one young man who remembered the Beatles songs, and then he kind of got popular by playing these Beatles songs, but nobody had heard of the Beatles.
Yes. Except I don't remember what it's called, but yes.
Except one or two people. And, then he went and it's like, well, wait, if the Beatles never happened, that would mean John Lennon is still alive. And so he goes to this I'm giving away the movie. I'm sorry. Go look at it.
It's called
Yesterday.
Goes
to this very remote location. What is it?
Yesterday.
Yesterday was the name of the movie. Mm-hmm. So good. And yeah, I'm totally giving it away, but guess what? You're going to love the moment anyway. He knocks on the door, and of course, a very age-appropriate elderly John Lennon opens the door, and oh my God, I you get so teary-eyed at the prospect that life could be different that way, if only.
Mm-hmm. I love the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. I've got a nephew who's obviously significantly younger than me, my sister's older boy, and he's part of a Beatles tribute band. He plays Ringo. He dresses the part. He looks so Ringo, and he's playing the drums on there. And I was rarely could I have been a more proud uncle of watching my nephew, who has no connection to the Beatles whatsoever, fall in love with them and, basically make a living for a time as part of a Beatles tribute band.
My kids all have Beatle names because I have four sons. So each of them has been given a Beatle name.
Oh, well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then
actually my youngest son's name is Julian and we call him Jude.
Oh yeah. Makes sense entirely. And one of my happier moments was taking my two older grandsons to Vegas to see Love, the Beatles show, the live show. And they loved it. And they and my older daughter, they've played the CD for that or the soundtrack, endlessly. For all of that. So there's today's music break and history lesson. Thank you, Kristen. Thanks for playing along.
It's so much fun.
I know. We'll take a break, and in our next hour, Matt Rothschild and all that after news.